Mentally morbid.
This podcast represents the opinions of the speakers and guests to the show. By listening to this podcast or reading any content posted or shared by the Mentally Morbid creators, you agree not to use this podcast or blog as psychological advice. The content should not be used in lieu of medical or psychological advice or any legal capacity whatsoever, including but not limited to establishing standard of care. The content here is for entertainment and educational purposes only. No guarantee is given regarding the accuracy of any statements or opinions made on the podcast or blog. Please consult healthcare professionals for any medical or psychological care.
Hey, everybody. Today's episode is actually going to be in two different parts. This is part one, and then later on, we're going to have episode 27 is going to be part two of us talking about the Murdoch trials. So you can always join in on part two to listen to Kinsey and Spencer explain more behind the case.
And no. Drum roll, ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to Mentally Morbid on WWE.
No.
You didn't put it down.
I didn't put
this is down. Annie, how you doing?
Welcome, episode 26, this is Kinsey.
And I'm Kayla.
And this is Cricket, she's here!
They can't see her.
But she's here.
And who back. Else is here?
No.
No, not yet.
No one else apparently, is here. No one else no is one here yet. It's a ghost.
The ghost of Chris's past, if you will. At least for me. So welcome back, listeners. Surprisingly, yet again, we are still recording and somehow still getting more viewers and listeners and followers.
We're doing it so good so far.
Quite possibly a miracle, quite possibly people building cases to get us banned from the country. Unclear.
Yeah, but we're going to find out. It doesn't even matter if we're banned from the U.S. because we still have Bangkok. I don't really know that's a country. But then we have India, which that's a country. And then Germany. Germany's coming in strong. Great Britain. We have France, which is a country.
She's no, so confused.
That's a continent.
She's so unsure.
Annie. Come on.
Period. Got a question mark. It was a period.
I'm really so concerned. Sad. Public school failed her.
So we're international. So we can get canceled in any of the individual countries. We just can't get canceled as an international podcast. We're safe. We're good to go. We can say whatever we want.
Okay, go. Do it.
No, my license is still important. We can get canceled, but I can't. That's only in Georgia.
So you're all talk is what I'm hearing?
That's not in India or France or Germany. That's just in Georgia. Okay.
What?
Keep going.
No, what were you going to... I didn't have anything to say. Go for it.
How many circuses or concerts or whatever have you been to in the last 3 days?
It's only been 3 days since we last recorded, everybody.
None this time. In the last 3 days, nothing really interesting has happened to me that I haven't alerted you out immediately because I live streamed my entire day to you.
This is true.
We record on weekends now, so no part-time ever again.
I don't think I've done anything else either. Just go to work, you know? Just wake up, go to work.
Well, I was going to go mountain biking and then it rained. So then I went to pick up my yard.
Mm-hmm.
Because it was Easter, so I couldn't actually go and shop either. We tried to go shop, but everything was closed. So we went back home.
Even Target. I was surprised.
Target was closed. We had
bags, rack room shoes, DSW, all of it closed.
You tried everything?
We tried everything. We just wanted to go. We were tired of sitting in the house.
Walmart was open.
I went to Walmart.
I went to Walmart too. She went to, what was it called? Five Below?
Walmart. I went to Walmart. I didn't go to Five Below. We're not even fancy enough for a Five Below. Look, Five Below is somehow fancier than Walmart. But better than all those is Dollar General.
No. Okay, listen. I will say I saw this thing earlier and I didn't send it to you because I've sent you quite a few things about food this week and I try to limit that.
Is that embarrassing food, for you?
Just the food thing. But
you're not triggering me or triggering you.
I'm not sure. Just triggering somebody. But I saw these Sour Patch Kids popsicles. They supposedly have at Dollar General. So if you see those, I want some. Get them for me.
I'll put them in the back just for you.
Yep.
In
Make
the back
sure.
of your car? Because there's no
in back. In the back of the house. I don't have enough room in the freezer. So I'll put them in the back, in the pantry. Hey. Oh my gosh. Guess what? I was watching Vanderpump Rules, more trash TV. I actually need you guys. It's season 10.
I don't know what that is. I don't know what that is.
You know what's really interesting? Kayla and I love reality TV, and Annie has been the one.
You don't watch Bravo.
All she's brought up in the last week is Vanderpump Rules, and neither one of us have any idea what she's talking about, but she just keeps talking.
I don't subscribe to Bravo.
I don't even think Kayla has cable.
I don't have cable.
I don't either. I have Hulu.
Oh.
You said Bravo.
It's on Hulu.
First of all, rule number one. Don't yell at me.
Okay. I don't know what Bravo is, but I do know that Vanderpump Rules is on Hulu. There's like 10 seasons. But anyways, there were these two girls going out with these two guys. One of the guys says that he has not seen Lion King.
The movie?
Yes. He is our age. No. Has not seen Lion King.
I didn't know if she meant like he hasn't seen it. He hasn't seen the new, like the live one or the play or
place or something. And I'm like, I don't. Yeah, like Lion King, like the edit, any of them apparently, but like hasn't seen Lion King or Simba's Pride, any of it.
Do we vote people off the island in this show?
Yes.
Dead.
Oh, we kill him.
Automatic.
Okay.
Yeah. That's we fine. Don't.
We get people. Oh, I'm ready.
We can afford that.
I would like to watch this show, Helmst Ever. I'm still disappointed that I have to wait till Friday for the rest of Love is Blind.
So, that's what is Vanderpump Rules about?
Right. What does that mean? Can you spell it?
I'm really excited to tell you right now.
Oh,
so
no.
There was this woman named Lisa Vanderpump on The Real Housewives of Beverly Hills. She owns a bar.
No.
And she has staff. Now, the beginning of it is so freaking trashy. It is so good. And I'm going to be honest with you. The cast, they get richer and they get trashier. It's so juicy.
Staff?
They got married and they all got divorced. They have children now. It's so terrible. I love it.
Okay. I'm in.
You're going to love it. Kinsey, start at season one. I will start back over with you so we can experience it again. 10 years of my life I've been watching this. Or just edit the number out, whatever, how many seasons there are. That's how many years of my life.
You don't even know. You're just making shit up.
That's two for COVID.
I'm in.
There's fights. There's fraud. There's people who get canceled. There's also, unfortunately, racism and sexism. But fights?
Is this the Kardashians?
It's the poor Kardashians.
The poor Kardashians? They're staff.
Of the Kardashians. That's something. Have you ever heard about that? How Kardashians change the landscape of beauty? That's a whole other topic. But anyways.
Hey, Annie, I would like to mention that your $25 microphone is doing really well.
I tried telling you guys. I have a $40 microphone that came broken.
I don't know why you didn't return it. I don't understand. Hold on. Back up. When you receive an item.
I press the button to return.
I'm going to be honest. That's as far as I get sometimes, too. I'm going to be honest.
That's so much money. Just fucking return it.
Then I have to take it. Here, I have to take it to Kohl's, and they have to put it in the back. And that's the whole thing.
Yeah,
Kohl's.
Yeah,
Kohl's is the drop-off center for Amazon here,
and everywhere else that I know of.
No, it's weird. I don't know. Kohl's. I will say last time, my grandma had given me some Kohl's gift cards, so I really made a whole trip out of it.
There's a grandma? You have a grandma?
My adopted grandma, Miss Becky. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, Miss Becky.
You just randomly say members of your family that never existed prior, and I'm like, whoa.
We've had this conversation several times.
Yeah, I almost said it for you because I knew it was coming. No, my adopted grandmother.
Oh, is it like whenever you talk about Brock and you're like, you know, the guy that lives with me?
Yes.
Right.
Yeah. It's the exact same thing. You just forget we tell you, but we'll keep going over it. We'll get there. We'll make a
genogram. As long as you know who Clay is, that's all I care about.
And Bobby.
And Bobby. Clay and Bobby.
And that guy, Neil. Neil.
Good old
Neely Neil.
He does not listen to this. There's probably no way he knows how to listen to this.
My boyfriend, his mommy wants to start listening, and that concerned me a little bit. But, you know, we're going to let it happen and see what happens.
That's kind of like Tommy's mother-in-law wanted to listen.
I can't wait to get canceled by the whole family. I am no longer allowed at family events. I did hear the Kardashians redefined beauty. Yes, because of the Brazilian butt lifts and all that shit, but
and the contour,
yeah, and the makeup.
But did she
and baking?
Was it? I know that she was like an influencer, but was she the one who really changed the landscape that much that she is why we contour?
Yeah. Are you talking about Kim?
No, she can't Kylie. Be why.
Right. Are we talking about Kim or Kylie?
Kim. Kim came before Kylie. Kim was the contour.
Kim was the sex.
Okay. But so pretty during the sex that we were all like, gotta look like her. And we all know that she was pretty. We all know we watched it. She was pretty
I didn't watch it.
I didn't watch it. I'm pretty sure we were like 12.
We were very young.
It's still there.
No,
I mean, okay.
Don't out yourself. And Paris
Hilton, gorgeous too. I will out myself every time. I am.
I didn't hear any of that. Paris Hilton, what?
She looked good too. They're beautiful in it.
Paris Hilton's in it too.
No.
What?
It's like throwback information. Anyways, we are so deviating off the course that we have taken ourselves down. Kim.
Okay.
But it was not Kylie.
You know who else has a bazillion butt lift? Our guest today.
Spencer! So, Morbid Minions, I have invited my long-term BFF, my BFFL, king of the Brazilian butt lift himself, who has probably actually not had one, but we will neither confirm nor deny in today's episode. Spencer Tyson, criminal defense attorney of the greater southern area of Georgia. Spencer and I met in 2012 when we started college at Mercer. We then both, for some reason, decided to stay for graduate degrees and continue paying Mercer money. Spencer is loved by all, hated by many, a man with a great beard and an even better alcohol collection. I'm trying to go along with Tommy's self-proclaimed.
Did he write his own? Because you said that
I forgot to tell him.
Have to write their own intros.
I did. I forgot to tell him. We'll give him a chance. I forgot. I do want you guys to know. Spencer is in. He is actually. Do you guys remember that movie 27 Dresses? That's actually Spencer. Spencer has been in at least 45 weddings in our lifetime. He's best man to people he doesn't even know.
It's
people show up at Spencer's house and they're like, will you be my best man at my wedding? And he just says yes. And he just shows up.
So all you need is a hat, a beard, and a beer?
Yeah.
And you can be the best man.
Right.
There you
go. He is invited to any wedding of anyone we have ever met. People that I forget even exist. I'm not even kidding you. He brought up a wedding he was in the other day and I was like, I forgot that person existed.
The opposite of the life I want to live, but good for you, Spencer. Good for you.
So popular. So Spencer also is a cat dad to Tigger, who we've had in our lives for a long time. He is a fat orange boy, and he now is a step cat father to two youngster cats.
Kenzie, are you going to let him speak? He hasn't said a word yet.
Was that introduction long enough?
I think it was pretty good, Kenzie.
Okay,
It's working out pretty well. And I agree with Annie. It's the opposite of the life you want to live. Renting a tux like every 3 weeks gets really old, and then you try to buy one, and no one uses that one.
Right, I am
just own one that's in a bag.
Then tuxes go out and suits come in.
I am literally not kidding you. How many weddings?
Like, oh, let's wear a blue suit, and it's like, oh, I have a blue suit for court. And they're like, not that blue suit. It's like, great. Great.
Not that one. It's not an
honor to be in someone's wedding anymore. It's like, would you like to spend $1,500 to go to an event that'll be boring? It's like, no.
Honestly, yes. Including the bachelorette/bachelor party and all the other things that go into weddings, it is like,
right.
You have to figure out how to not unfriend people, but to get back into that stage where you can get invited to the bachelor party, but just get a regular invite to the wedding.
Oh my God. That
seems like the ideal groove. And I somehow overshot that. It's like in life, I didn't generally overshoot things. I'm generally underachieving. So this one is like, you did too good. You should have been less of a good person. You know, maybe you could have just raided the open bar in the suit you wear to court instead of the suit you had to rent.
I'm surprised that, you know, hanging out with Kinsey as much as you have, that your threshold was a little bit higher than hers.
What do you mean?
You're an awful person.
Oh, yep. Oh, for sure.
But see, it's acceptable for men to be awful people. Just generally.
Ooh. Wait a minute, that's a good point.
I think as per my relationship with the two of you, it is fascinating because Spencer met me at one of my worst moments in life and still chose to stick around for 11 years. Similar to you bitches. Worst moment of my life.
Pre-drugs.
Pre-drugs. Also, like, literally 2 seconds after we got, like, released into the wild from our parents' homes. It was rough out in them streets. Third day of college? We used to have a trolley that would take us downtown. I remember vividly several times Spencer and I would sit on the grounds in dirty downtown making, crying, waiting for the trolley to come pick us up, just drunk off our butts in downtown on a Saturday night.
Let's rewind that. Not us crying.
Yeah, no. Oh, no. I knew what she meant.
No.
Me, Kinsey, in the royal sense there.
No. I've seen Spencer cry. I've seen drunk Spencer cry, and I believe
this is incriminating evidence. We're keeping this out.
We're editing that. Oh, yeah.
It's forever. We don't edit anything out. Lied.
No, that has to stay in. I mean, it's just the cold, hard facts. But right. I'm going then to deny
it. Then we stayed through grad school where both of us almost died. Oh, man.
I don't know. We had been inducted into some kind of Mercer cult that kept us there for some reason.
They still call me every once in a while around 8 p.m.
They're confused. They think I owe them money.
Right.
No.
That I feel generous. Would you like to give Mercer money? It's like, I thought we were done with that part of our lives.
They think you feel...
No, we're not. They think still paying mine.
Like, I always ask the little young lady or gentleman that calls me, and I'm like, what's this money going to go to? And they're like, we don't know. And I'm like... Okay, that's how you sell me on it.
really interesting that they think we skipped the part where we were like, they think we're just like rich now. They're like, well, we gave you that 4-year degree. We gave you that whole college thing. And now you must have lots of money that you want to pay back to the system.
Yeah.
My favorite is my phone going off in the law library, which got me yelled at by a librarian. So I walked out to answer, and it was Mercer asking for money. And I'm like, I'm still here.
Oh, my God, yeah.
Do you still do that? Do they really do the thing still?
Oh, yeah. Law librarians are a special breed of lawyers that just want to be angry at themselves and everyone else.
Kinsey.
It's Kinsey. Calling.
Kinsey is supposed to be a law librarian. It's true.
Oh, my God.
I'm ready.
She's not allowed to put it in a library.
We found my destiny. No, maybe that's it. Maybe it's I'm supposed to. Okay, listen. I made Gus watch Monsters University the other day, and you guys remember that librarian, the big monster librarian?
Yeah, Destiny. Roz.
Raz.
No, in Monsters University.
Roz is the lady from the Scream Factory. Well, that's right.
Well.
That too, though. No, in Monsters University, the librarian gets angry if you make a noise. She picks you up and she throws you across campus. That's me.
No, that's I saw Universities whenever it came out, but I don't remember anything about it. Because guess what? I'm pretty sure it came out when we were in grad school.
But can you imagine Kinsey in a library? Can you imagine her the whole time? She's going to try and whisper, but she's not going to whisper. It's just going to be her normal voice at a lower decibel.
Guys!
And then you're going to try to be quiet. And she's going to sit there, and she's going to be like shaking with excitement while she's giggling.
That's so excited to tell someone to shut up.
Yes.
So, yeah. So, Spencer, why don't you briefly introduce yourself? Is there anything I missed? Also, shout out to Spencer's mom, Camille, if she's listening, my other BFF. Shout out, Camille. We love you.
We're going to have to teach mom a podcast so she can listen to this.
Right. She's going to want to listen to this.
Yes, obviously. I don't think you missed anything. I think that pretty much generally defines me. It's like I'm defined by work, alcohol, and the fact that I have these cats in my life now.
These cats.
Us too.
I guess I'm a nerd. I think all lawyers are nerds.
Shout out.
On a spectrum of some kind. Lawyers are probably on other spectrums as well, most likely. But
we're crossing that line.
The line! He said he wouldn't do it too, liar.
Well, I just said spectrum. Y'all making assumptions? This is rude.
That's the editor.
Here early today.
What kind of nerd are you?
I mean, a Lord of the Rings, Harry Potter nerd as a child, obviously. A trivia nerd as an adult. I play bar trivia every Thursday. And I watch Jeopardy
every day. I fell.
Kinsey, what are you doing? Okay.
My microphone just fell.
I tried to. Not today. Not today, because I was on this podcast, but which is like during Jeopardy and during the Braves, which just shows how important Kinsey is, because those are like two things I carve out in my life.
Oh, yeah. Spencer is a big Braves guy, so that does say a lot. He also, he's watched Jeopardy every day the entire time I've known him.
Wait. So 0 to 10. How good are you at Jeopardy? Is that trivia? Trivia. 0 to 10.
Pretty good.
Really, really good.
I mean, I would say solid like 7 or 8. Not too great with the poets or composers. Those are the ones that always catch me.
Spencer, I will warn you, she is Googling Jeopardy questions.
Oh, God. Here we go.
But, no, I think, like I said, majority of my time is dedicated to work. I work at for the area I'm in, which is South Georgia. I live in Statesboro, Georgia, home of Georgia Southern. Go Eagles.
You might know one of my friends. Our friends. Do you know Juan Segarra?
No.
Damn it.
Not right off. I work for a pretty big private firm here. In town, the largest, about 10 lawyers work for us. We do everything from probate and wills and estates to criminal defense. I do a lot of our criminal defense. We do a lot of civil practice. We represent a lot of the banks here in town, a lot of the apartment complexes for the college students and things like that. And that's pretty much where a lot of my time goes. I enjoy being outdoors. I enjoy being on the water. I enjoy offshore fishing.
What kind of water?
Wet kind?
The outside water.
You're like the big water or the little water?
The little water? I mean, I like all the water. I mean, I grew up on a farm, so
you know what I'm asking.
Yeah, so I had like a farm. Do you like lakes or do you like the ocean?
Yes, I mean, I went to high school in Milledgeville, so that's Georgia's lake country. So I played on the lakes. All that. But I mean, if I had to pick, I prefer the ocean. I like to sit in the sand. I think it lets me pretend to be Jimmy Buffett, which is all I want to be when I grow up.
You know, Spencer, I think you and I are very different people.
Me and Annie hate the beach.
Well, I don't.
The very first thing you listed is sand. It's the first thing I hate.
Well, see, I'm going to sit in a good lounge chair and I'm going to play golf while I'm there. there's like other things, and I like seafood. The lake is much more active. Like, I'm going to play on Sea-Doo, I'm going to wakeboard or something like that. Where the beach is, I want to sit in a really good chair under an umbrella. I want to play some Jimmy Buffett music and drink a daiquiri.
Oh my gosh. That sounds so nice. And I will say, I feel like Spencer was born to just to be a retired old man that lives at his beach house. So.
I have a very important question, Spencer.
Yes, ma'am.
Have you ever had a profile on a dating app?
Yes.
Look at him. Look at him. He's so concerned right now.
Are you a fish holder?
No. 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 God, no. With my big jacked up truck and my Trump flag.
Yeah.
I mean, so far it tracks for the rest of it, though.
Right.
Good to know you might be an exception. Might be.
Maybe.
We'll see. We'll find out at the end.
I don't think I've ever taken a picture with a fish or of a fish, maybe in an aquarium. But
have you ever caught a fish?
I have caught a
important
fish.
Important question.
Is it with your hands or with a rod?
With a hand, Kenzie. Yeah, like I'm Aquaman.
Like a bear, I was thinking. Like, rah!
What's that called? Noodling? The noodling when you stick your hand, your arm down the fish's mouth?
No, that's called inbreeding.
Oh, inbreeding.
And meth. That's the only thing that would make you do something like that.
I was like, wait a second. I've never heard of that.
I have another question.
On a river, and I would never stick my hand in a hole in a river that I can't see. That's insane.
What would you say is Kinsey's biggest strength?
Why?
Would you I love that? Questions about
perseverance.
We talk about her weaknesses all the time.
Oh, true.
It's definitely perseverance. Like, Kinsey.
Look at how sad her life is, and she just keeps going.
No, it's not. But like, that's me. You know, it's not. I mean, we have similar backgrounds. Like, we come from divorced parents and things like that. So, and that can be tough. And like, to really make something of yourself and have your own private practice at this point, like, is really impressive. And it puts you in the category of successful before 30, which is becoming a smaller and smaller category, especially in our generation, because it's harder. I mean, it's getting more and more expensive to break through with education and everything else, and it's burning people out. So,
Kinsey's never been so complimented on this podcast before. Well done. Yep. This will be that the last time I ever asked that question.
That was so nice. I will say, Spencer has always built me up. Even on the times where we don't see each other for a long period of time, Spencer and I talk daily. He's always been the one to make me feel like I can succeed.
He's in the copy and paste group?
No, Spencer is not in the copy paste group, because if I text Spencer that much, his girlfriend may come have me murdered.
Look, you remember when you said that you wanted Spencer to come join our podcast for a night? What our response was?
Yeah, they were like, "Who the fuck is Spencer?" And I was like,
I completely get the idea too, because like explaining to my girlfriend, who is the first like serious girlfriend I've had since like Kinsey's been moved away, that like my best friend on the planet is a girl that I went to college with and I've been best friends with for a decade. She goes, you know, there's like an immediate concern.
Interesting.
Like, what do you mean? She's like, what do you mean this is your best friend? It's like, no, I promise you.
Red flag.
Like, no. Like, I was like, it's a huge red flag, right? Like, but there's nothing like that at all. Like,
right. Once you meet me and I'm like, okay, tell the bar.
She's like the last person I would ever worry about leaving with my partner. Like, I don't care how drunk they were. Like, I would not worry about like, Kinsey's just loyal. She's like a dog that never leaves. Like, you can beat it. You can starve it. It's not going to leave. She just keeps coming back. She always has. Look at her. She's like, that's so sweet.
Loyal? Person who's loyal. Of
compliment Kinsey and make her
God.
Blush.
I'm not right. Doing it. Oh, no, for sure. If I was left alone with any of your partners, it would be a variety of things. With Annie's husband, I would be like, do you want to do a puzzle? Or I'd be like, do you want to help me fix this thing? And then with DJ, I would be like, okay, so tell me about you. And I'd be like, okay, so you like Kayla because? And they'd be like, will you make me dinner because I'm hungry? And then with Spencer's girlfriend, obviously girl shit. We go out, get our nails done. We get facials. We shit talk Spencer. You know, whatever. I don't got time.
That's like Taylor's favorite topic too. So she would enjoy that.
Right. Spencer brought her for the wine festival that we went to, and we had a fantastic time. We wore each other's clothes. It's great.
It was a grand time. I'm a big fan of wine. So.
Do you have a favorite wine?
Do I have a favorite wine?
Yeah.
It's hard to pick, but my go-to at most places is going to be Cabernet Sauvignon, but my favorite is a Malbec. I like Argentine Malbec. Malbec from the mountains.
Huh. That sounds very fancy. I don't know what that means.
It's not. You can buy it at Aldi, just like I buy most of my wine, you know. But
as one does.
You know, good bitter red to go with my bitter mindset on life.
Bitter personality. Fantastic. I love that. Well, thank you for joining us today, Spencer. I am excited. Thank you for having
me. I'm excited to be here. I'm excited for how y'all's podcast is going. I told Kenzie when randomly on TikTok I got followed by Mentally Morbid. And then I think I got a video texted to me from Kenzie that was a TikTok, and it said that Mentally Morbid shared to me.
Yeah, sometimes.
That might be her. And I was like, what is Mentally Morbid? And she goes, it's our podcast. And so I instantly started downloading it to get your downloads up, but I was not listening to it because it's not
McAfee
or whatever I listen to when I drive. But then when I started listening to it, I was like, okay, I'm hooked because – I try to avoid the murder documentary stuff normally because it's like my job, but I was hooked. I've listened to like a bunch of episodes in the last few weeks and I'm excited to be here.
Oh, you're the sweetest. Well, I think you probably like it because these two have a very similar personality and sense of humor as you and I do, which is why I'm friends with all of you people because you guys get my fucked up sense of humor.
True.
I think it's going to be very nice to have you on here because similar to Juan and Tommy, you have a different sort of expertise than we do, which we were excited for. We do love that you have something different to bring into the podcast. And as usual, I highlight the fact that it's nice to have a man here to tell us why men are wrong all the time.
Oh
yeah. What to do. Yeah. 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 What to do. Really,
where she was going with that. I was about to be very concerned.
I love how
where are we going?
Us women just going rogue
and
on the podcast.
Thank goodness someone's here to keep us alive.
I think Kenzie can attest to this because I was stereotyped a little while ago as the fish holder. But being from the divorced parents, I was raised by a very independent-minded, 5-foot-tall, part Cuban, retired principal who is a spitfire. And so the idea of mansplaining anything to anyone is atrocious to me. So.
It's so actually
ask permission before mansplaining.
No, it's actually fascinating. I think that that has brought so much to his life. I have never seen Spencer not get along with somebody. I've seen Spencer not like people, but even when he doesn't like them, he does a much better job pretending that he does than any of us can. Spencer,
well, that's opposite of what we do,
right? And people just gravitate towards him. And I think it's because he's just such an anomaly. Going off what we were joking about earlier, like Spencer is so hard to pin down as a human being. Like it was funny because I woke up after them this morning, which I typically do, but they were looking, trying to figure out what you look like because Annie's an idiot and forgot I sent her a picture of all of us. And she pulled up the two Spencers I'm friends with on Facebook. And she said, I bet it's the top one because you have that cowboy hat on. And I was like, it is the top one, but he is not what you expect.
But listen, that's because of based off of you. I was wondering who would be friends with you. That vibe. The other one did not.
Right. So I thought that today we could talk about the very interesting Murdaugh trials. Is that how you say it? Murdaugh? Murdaugh.
It depends on who you ask. If you ask anyone that speaks English, it would be the Alex Murdaugh trial.
No, but it's Alex.
If you ask Mr. Murdaugh, it's Alec.
Right. Alec. I literally thought his name was Alec for like a hot minute. Who pronounces it like that?
All of South Carolina.
Apparently.
Okay. We're not we're not going to bash my northern neighbor that way. The low country of South Carolina is a different place.
That was, I literally was like, is that not his, is his name not Alex? Where's the X? There just is no X. They got rid of it. They threw it out. I just
spent 4 hours trying to spell his name.
So, yeah, I thought we could spend some time talking about that because obviously that's literally blown up, not only on Netflix, but social media. And I thought it would be a nice case to get a lawyer because Spencer, I don't know if you listened to this episode, but the last law case I brought up, the Casey Anthony one, I had to learn how to read the word indicted and I did not know how to say that. So I would love to hear. Indicted. So I have no idea what I'm talking about, and I would love your expertise.
Smelling your head, going, "What is that?"
Oh, indicted. So obviously, I know a lot about the law and all these things. So, for those of you that don't know, the Murdaugh trial is basically based around this big old Southern family who have somehow been connected to now five murders.
It's your story, bro.
Four murders. And Alex Murdaugh was just sentenced to life in prison. But there's a lot of variables that go into this.
Wait, I didn't finish the series yet. He got life in prison.
They did not say that in the series.
There's only two options when you get convicted for murder. But well, three, but we'll get to that in a minute. But let's start. I guess we should say three murders and then two deaths, I guess would be the, and then one assassination attempt, I guess would be, so really it's six if we're getting our numbers there, because Alex had the attempted assassination on himself as well.
Right. Oh,
yeah. I forgot about that one.
And I found some interesting information about that on my research that they didn't really highlight at Netflix. But first and foremost, Spencer, what do you think about this whole thing? This whole him getting all this recognition and Netflix show and all that shit?
Can you explain what it is for people who don't know who it is?
Okay. So Alex Murdaugh is, my sources today are going to be The New York Times, Netflix, and CNN. He was a big shot
That's a legal term, big shot.
Big shot something or another in South Carolina. He worked in a law firm that his great-grandfather, I think, or his grandfather, one of those, founded. Is and basically... DA, right? Huh?
Wasn't one of them the DA?
So, you want me to do a history?
Sure. Right.
So the small town they're from was really like officially incorporated in the early 1900s. A lot of small communities in that area, South Carolina and much in like South Georgia, didn't get incorporated until, you know, obviously kind of society reached that area with like developed roads and things like that. So when they first got incorporated, and I may get some of the greats wrong in this, but it's great.
Spencer, if you came, our logo is always, if you came here for facts, go somewhere else. Also, I think Annie is having
We're good.
She's having a great time with how nerdy you are already. I can see it in her face. She's like, oh, he's got facts. Spencer knows everything. Honestly, Spencer was my Annie before Annie existed. And now I have both of them just to tell me all the things in the world I need to know. So I just basically don't have. This is why I don't read. So go ahead.
Just another male nerd in her life.
What am I here for?
Comedy. Sadness.
As one of my good friends says, never let the facts get in the way of a good story. So Alex's great or grandfather was the first, and in South Carolina we call them solicitors, but it would be the same thing as a district attorney in the state of Georgia. That is the highest ranking law enforcement individual for a circuit or a county. Generally, circuits are made up of several counties, and that's your head prosecutor. And historically, if you go back 100 years ago, there may only be one. You just have your elected solicitor in South Carolina or elected district attorney in Georgia. And of course, their offices, So from the founding of the municipality, essentially, of the circuit, his family held the solicitor position continuously until about 2007 or 2008.
Which is like a monopoly on law.
His like great-grandfather, his grandfather, his father, maybe a great-uncle held it at some point, and Alex himself was even an assistant solicitor at some point, but he was a part-time solicitor.
What does that mean?
So it's a weird little caveat. Technically, when you're a lawyer, you can't represent the state and represent individual clients, but due to the rural nature, and especially in the state of Georgia, we have part-time prosecutors. You may go into a city and get a speeding ticket, and the attorney that has an office across the street that does car wrecks may be the person prosecuting you, and they do it part-time. And the reason is the county or the city can't really afford to pay someone a full-time salary for that, so they pay a couple $100 a court session to some private attorney to take it, and we have a caveat in the ethical rules that allow them to do that. And South Carolina apparently has something similar that allowed him to do this part-time. And like I said, he would prosecute some cases, but he was also doing his private practice. And a lot of his private practice focused on what we call plaintiff's work. And so now, fast forwarding, you get the idea that you've got this old-school Southern lawyer's family that's kind of run the circuit for close to a century. They're deeply embedded. During this time, when his like great-grandfather quit being solicitor and passed it on to his son, this firm was founded that he was employed at. And his job, like I said, was plaintiff's work. And plaintiff's work is when you sue people for what we call torts. And the number one tort to know of... Not torque. You're thinking of the word torque with a Q. Tort is T-O-R-T, which is an act. Torque.
Like so King of Torts.
Yes, torts.
For you.
Yeah. So, and the number one tort that people get sued for, as you know, if you have a television,
we don't.
Are car wrecks. They, you know, even though they're negligence, like, that's kind of the practice he had. And that's where things seem to start to spiral, especially with Alec, because in torts, for example, if I sue an insurance company for a car wreck on behalf of a client and recover $100,000, that's not my money, but they pay me. And my requirement is to place it into a trust account, and whatever I contracted for, I can keep.
Mm-hmm.
Well, Alex liked to keep a little extra. It seems like on a lot of these cases. And then in certain situations, he liked to keep all of it. And I mentioned earlier while we were just chatting that there's a few things you can't do as a lawyer. And one of them is steal your client's money. But it is obviously a temptation. And that's why it's one of the, but we'll connect to our first death here, which is what we're all here for. They had a housekeeper at their property who passed away, and there's some suspicion to whether someone pushed her down the stairs or something like that. But obviously there's been no criminal case, so you can't really make assumptions about that. But there was definitely a wrongful death suit, which Alex got a friend of his handle. Alec, sorry.
Pronounce it Alec. Correctly.
I mean, he may come get me, you know. I would hate for that to happen. So,
right, but I'm actually going to stop you, Spencer, because that actually was not the first death. The first death was technically Stephen Smith, which is connected to the older son, right? Buster.
I thought Stephen. Sorry, I didn't want to skip Stephen. I thought Stephen came after the housekeeper.
No, Stephen. Look. I did some homework. 2015 with Stephen. Gloria wasn't. Gloria the housekeeper was not until. Who knows? Not me. 2018.
I'll let Kenzie kind of take the lead on Stephen because I don't want to skip over Stephen. And I know he was a pretty big factor in the. I think. I'm not sure if ID did it or HBO did it. I know I watched it on HBO, so I don't want to give the wrong credit to the wrong company who made the documentary. But they focused in on it. But they were classmates, correct, Kinsey?
Right. And, you know, either way, if you guys want to sponsor us, let us know. We are available at mentallymorbidpod@gmail.com. So, Stephen Smith, his body was found in 2015 in the middle of the road with blunt force trauma to the head. And they were saying that, I guess that he got hit by his car. But his vehicle was found 3 miles away and the gas tank door was open and a gas cap was hanging out the side of the car. They said the vehicle was fully functioning, but it wouldn't start for some reason, all of which was basically like, indicating there was some sort of foul play. Like they were basically saying like his injuries don't add up with where the car is. It doesn't make any sense. Yada, yada. The way that the Netflix documentary skewed it, it really seems like because Alec, he has two sons, Buster and Paul and,
Papa,
like a crow.
We shouldn't. I know we'll get into Paul later. I guess we should not joke about him too much, but the Paw thing is just atrocious.
Wait, we lost you. It's a what? The Paw thing?
It's just atrocious, like that.
When they first said it, I thought they were talking about a grandfather because I used to call my grandpa Papa, and I was like, I was like, when did we start talking about Papa?
Yeah, it's Paw Paw. Like
Paw Paw.
Like, but okay, Kinsey, continue on this.
Oh, man. So basically, the way the Netflix documentary skewed it was that their older son, Buster, supposedly may have been more than friends with Stephen. And Stephen was outwardly gay, very clearly out of the closet. Mm-hmm. And it seems like whatever connection he had with Buster, they were spending time together privately. And the next thing they knew, Buster and his friends show up one day to where Stephen is, and Stephen's dead. And there does seem to be a connection there. I will say they did reopen that case recently after they found all of this out. His case is being reopened because I think they said there was never an autopsy done. But I may be getting that confused because Gloria never had an autopsy done. But either way, like this family had so much power.
They exhumed her body, though.
Yeah. This family just had a lot of power, which I think ties into this whole like coercion factor here, right? Which I think we could see in both of our fields, in the field of psychology. We could see that in the field of law and this idea that, Annie, stop looking at me like that. This idea that like we use, what is the word? Non-direct forms of control. And that is kind of like a form of violence. And if we look at the cycle of abuse, it's like this indirect control in which we tell people what they can and cannot do either directly or indirectly through words, actions, behavior, stuff like that. But either way, it is a form of abuse when you coerce someone to do something that they don't want to do. So this
considers different studies they've had on it, like Milgram studies with the authority and obeying authority, where you have individuals who just automatically assume they have to follow it. And that's what I was thinking about, how you have this family where, yes, money plays into it, and yes, their positions play into it, but position is just simply assumed power.
Can you explain Milgram's?
Yeah, so Milgram's, I think it's Milgram's. I don't think it's Zimbardo. I think it's
Stanley. No, I think it's Milgram's too.
Yeah, Milgram's. So he has a study where the participants are told to shock somebody in increasing power. Now, they're not actually shocking the individuals, but they believe they are. So the participants believe they are shocking the people because the actors are actually like screaming and acting like they're in pain, and they keep telling them to up it, up it, up it. And the whole study is meant to, or the whole design is meant to study authority and obeying, looking back at like the Nazi soldiers who obeyed the orders. They were studying that kind of dynamic. So that each study is basically obeying an authority.
Right, because the psychologist kept telling them, no, push the button, you have to, it's part of the experiment, you have to keep doing it, you have to complete the experiment, even though they could hear someone on the other side who was supposedly being injured. So, yeah.
Right, to the point where, like, some of those people were supposedly, like, not responding anymore, and they were still being told to injure them. And I think a lot of that, like, honestly, like one of my senior papers for undergrad was on mob mentality. And a lot of it is like that distribution of responsibility as well, right? Like once you get into a group setting, groupthink really does take over. and this idea that like you won't, like you can't make a difference, so you go with the grain, you go with the people and what they're saying. And I think at a point, like what Spencer was saying, this is such an old Southern town. This family is such a big name. There were so, because I don't think Alec would have had this kind of control and power over this town just by himself. But the fact that there were
generations. Yeah, huh? I think
you broke up.
So Alec coming in new wouldn't have that kind of power?
Yes, but I think because his family was able to take over that town over and over and over again, I would assume that they were slowly taking over control of things as that was happening generation to generation. And he was, you know, just probably a bad seed, but also probably told over the years by his family, who had an inane amount of power, that they were allowed to do whatever they wanted.
Well, I mean, you started seeing it happen with Paw Paw, where all he had to do was call one of them and he could get out of anything. So then it reflects back on the nature versus nurture. Like, would Paul have turned out to be like that if it weren't for his family circumstance? Or is it a combination of both?
I don't know. They are redheads. Bad sign.
We are so sorry. Yes,
unless you're a mermaid, you're not allowed to be a redhead.
If you are fae, you are allowed to be a redhead.
Oh, yeah. Mermaid or fairy. Otherwise, no. Not allowed.
I think there's a definite part to play there. And I always tell people, there's a certain thing, especially in smaller towns, like generational credit. And, you know, your family's always been the lawyer in town. And obviously, the lawyer in town can get away with things that other people can't get away with. And it's leveraging those relationships and such. For example, and we'll get into that, but Alex carrying his badge from being a solicitor. I know plenty of people in law enforcement or prosecutors that carry their badge in their car, knowing that they probably won't get a citation. And that's using some of that leverage in not a couth way, but obviously not a particularly evil way, where Alex is truly like the break where, okay, we get a wide berth and Alex goes so far outside of it.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, like I said, lawyers come in all kinds, like politically, beliefs, all that kind of stuff. But you can ask any attorney, you know, what can't you do? And they're going to tell you, you can't steal your client's money. And Alex was willing to do that to start with, which just shows, but I don't know if it's, I mean, obviously he testified to a serious drug addiction and things like that. I don't know if it's brought on by that or, and I think it's a brought on with by that plus the combination, as y'all were talking about with Paul, about he's always been told he's special. He can get away with it, what he wants to. And he was able to get away with a lot of stuff.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, the idea, as someone that represents people every day within alcohol-related incidents, especially DUIs, the idea that everyone that was on that boat was not arrested the moment that they got out there is shocking.
Mm-hmm.
And the same thing with Alex at the scene of the crime with Maggie and Paul, how he was not detained to be interviewed in an interview room. He was interviewed in a car. That's all those relationships coming to bear. Like, there's no way Alex did this. We all know Alex, right?
Mm.
But that's not true. Like, I mean, plenty of people have broken bad and, you know, it comes in all walks of lives. People in all walks of lives can commit crimes, white collar, blue collar, you know, successful, unsuccessful. So, but you see it in these small town situations, even though, like I said, that part of the Lowcountry has developed significantly. And I guess kind of ranted there. But to go back, I keep using the term Lowcountry. And if you watch the documentary, you may have heard that the Lowcountry Coastal Empire, what people talk about, the Coastal Empire is the Georgia part, kind of Savannah up to the, like, going along the coast.
It ain't Greenville.
But as you cross into the South Carolina border, they call it the Lowcountry. So if you listen to a radio station, they'll say, you know, 97 FM or whatever, you know, rock for the Lowcountry and the Coastal Empire. And as you get into the Lowcountry, you're talking about extremely rural extremely conservative, extremely small town areas until you get over into Hilton Head. Hilton Head, Buford's growing out. And so the Lowcountry is starting to develop slowly. But these places still maintain their small town rules, unwritten rules. And, you know, everyone knows a family if you're from a small town. I know I'm from a really small town.
Shout out.
Shout out Harrison, Georgia. Population about 480, I think, on the last census. And I grew up outside of it. So, but we do have a Dollar General now. Did not have one growing up.
Aren't they the best?
And he loves Dollar General.
They're better than no store. I will say that.
My mom calls it the Dollar Gentral.
But that's you right. Can see it's kind of like the Napoleonic quote that, you know, power corrupts and complete power corrupts completely. And it seems like Alex got to that point because I want to mention something. There's a group in Georgia, it's called GTLA, and in South Carolina, I'm not a member of the South Carolina bar, so if I get it wrong, but I think it's called like SCLA.
I'll tell you if
but
you're wrong.
But that is GTLA is the Georgia Trial Lawyers Association, which is a lobbying group for plaintiffs' lawyers, and basically we try to make sure that the government doesn't put caps on the amount of money we can sue insurance companies for when they kill you and stuff like that. And Alex was the president of that organization for the state of South Carolina. I mean, he was a very charismatic guy. People liked him. He had a successful law practice. I mean, the Moselle property where these murders happened just sold even post, and you can argue whether that increased the value or decreased the value, but for over $3 million. I mean, it's a large plantation kind of area, hunting plantation with a massive house on it and dog kennels and things like that. And like I said, that's the kind of money we're talking about here. We're not talking about the guy that makes, you know, $100,000 in the small town. We're talking about the people that make $10 million a year, $12 million a year on average. And multiply that by his brother's also an attorney. One of his brothers runs a successful rental company. And this generational wealth is built up. But it's the generational credit that has allowed them to get away with more and more and more, which it seems may have broken Alex. Maybe he, whether it was a drug addiction or whether it was the addiction to the adrenaline rush of getting away with something he wasn't supposed to. But obviously it all came crashing down. And I don't want to, like I said, I didn't want to skip over Stephen, and I don't know a whole lot of hard facts about Stephen. So I want to avoid speaking on it too much. But obviously it's a very sad situation that young man passed away. But like I said, I think the investigation has been reopened, so that's a fact. The connections to Buster, the older son, are somewhat strong. But like I said, as far as the evidence for foul play is strong, but the evidence connecting Buster to the foul play is circumstantial. So I just want to put that on the record.
Okay, everybody, that was the end of part one. If you would like to hear the rest of this story and have more information about the Murdoch trials, please join us for part two in episode 27, where Kinsey and Spencer explain more to us about what's going on with the case.